What a joy and honor it is to have another week together here in Bryce Canyon. I hope that for everyone who's been vacationing here, you've been enjoying the beauty and been enjoying our nature here, enjoying the sights and the sounds and beating the heat, at least the little bit beating the heat of further down south. Today we continue on in our study of parables that we see taught by Jesus in the Gospels. And today we're going to find our parable in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 12 and going on through verse 24. This is called the parable of the great banquet. What we've been doing each week with these parables is we've been examining them to come to some core truths. These truths often point us towards salvation. They point us towards what it means to be a follower of Jesus within his kingdom. It sometimes points towards what his kingdom will look like as it comes in the future with him present, residing on earth again. And as we're looking at these parables, we're doing it with a particular method. We want to be able to study these and understand these. And so because we understand that the parables are not just simply to be a clear-cut, cut-and-dry, can't-miss-it kind of story, but rather it is a story used to illustrate a point and bring it to life. And within that, those who are rightfully trying to hear what Jesus is speaking and earnestly seeking his message, that it often is incredibly clear. And for those who are looking to avoid the whole thing, they can hide within the story. They can miss the whole point, focus on the wrong thing. And so what we want to do is we want to see what's going on in this story. We want to look at the story first and make sure we have the story itself sorted out. Then we want to go from there and we want to examine, okay, well, now that I know what's happening in the story, what else is within the context of this passage? Is there anything that will help me understand within the context of this passage what's being said? And then we'll consider what's happening in the grander, broad scope of the message of Scripture. And, you know, does this piece fit? Is what I'm thinking about right now fit within the greater teachings of Scripture? And if all of those things are in harmony, then we're able to arrive to a point. Now, sometimes Jesus gives us very explicit interpretation, and we aren't having as difficult of a job trying to bring forward, what does this mean? And sometimes it's really necessary to go through those steps to reach a sound conclusion of what Jesus is trying to teach. Today's parable really, it literally follows the one we examined last week, the parable of the wedding feast. And we're with the same crowd, the same group of people that Jesus is teaching to. He's over at dinner at the home of a head Pharisee with Pharisees and scribes in attendance, and he's speaking very directly to them. And so this message is largely for them. Certainly, there's something in this for us to take. Certainly, we ought to heed the same warning. We don't want to find ourselves being like these guys. But we also want to understand that this wasn't something that is broadly being spoken to a large crowd, and that this is a general overarching principle. Though again, there's not a lack of truth in this. There's not principle that we ought not to catch. Just to say that we have a targeted audience that this message is going to. So today, as we look at Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 24, what we're going to see in this parable of the great banquet is going to be a pointed message towards these Pharisees, these scribes, religious leaders of their day, people who ought to have been the shepherds of the nation of Israel and doing so properly. Though, as we know, that was not necessarily the case for the large majority of them. So let us read Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 24. We'll examine the story together, and then we'll kind of try to bring it around to an interpretation. And as we have that interpretation, we'll then consider, well, what does this apply for us? Because again, though this is a targeted message to them, this is still in Scripture, and it's not just so we can point and laugh at the Pharisees and the scribes. Like I said, it's so that we might not become like them. What's the application for us in our life? So, Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, it reads, "He said also to the man who had invited him, 'When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done and there is still room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. So this is our story for today. And we kind of see this in two sections. There's first this opening statement that is, again, not really much of a parable, so much as just a direct statement, kind of a direct teaching. And then as he gets a reply from one who has reclined at the table with him, he then launches into the parable section of our text where we have this story. So let us actually first resume by beginning with verse 16 with this story. And like we said, the very first thing we want to do is we want to get down the core concept of just what's happening in this story. And then we'll step out to the broader context of this whole passage. So in verse 16, we see that there was a man who was hosting a great banquet, the master of the house, as he'll be referred to later on in the passage. And he invites many. He sends out the invitations to many. And then later on, so it's not as if the invitations were coming out on the fly. It's not as if this servant was going out and saying, hey, by the way, you've been invited. Do you have time to come in? No. It says that a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. He had done this. And at that time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. So this was something that those who were invited already knew about. Well, let's not be overly presumptuous, but in a lot of ways we can think about it like the RSVP has been out, the response has been set in, everyone invited knew they were invited, they knew the time, they knew when it was to come, and so now the time has come, and the servant is going out to gather them in and say, come on, let's go, it's time for the party, everything's ready. But in verse 18 it says, they all alike began to make excuses. Everyone who had said, yeah, I'll be there, can't wait, they had some reason why they couldn't come. If you've ever hosted a party, you've experienced this. I feel like I can say that with near certainty. Maybe everyone you invited didn't bail out, but if you've ever hosted a party, even if it be a small dinner party or if you were hosting a block party where the whole neighborhood was invited, you've experienced somebody who is going to say, yeah, I'll be there. And then the day comes, ghost town from that person. And so this is what they're experiencing. All of these who had been invited, the ones who were the first priority guests, they have an excuse. The first one said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Sorry, please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. The excuses, they almost get worse and worse, though none of them are very good. Hey, I bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. I feel like that field is going to be there tomorrow. You can go and examine it then. It's going to be okay. It's not going to change. I bought 5 oxen. I got to go see them. Again, I feel like the oxen are going to be okay. You can probably go see him tomorrow. I married a wife, so I can't come. Blame it on the wife. I mean, we don't even know why. Like, I married a wife, so I don't have time. I married a wife, she didn't get invited. Like, we don't even know what his excuse is in principle here. We just know he throws it towards the wife, so he can't come. All of these excuses, they're pointing towards something where they feel what's going on in their life takes imminent priority, or pointing towards the notion that they never even really wanted to come in the first place. They're just more interested in their affairs, and they're looking for any excuse out. So when all three of these men that we see as the examples used have excused themselves and they're no longer coming, the servant returns to his master. And he tells the master about this, and the master is angry. He's frustrated. He's upset. And his command to his servant is to go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. So the servant does that. He goes out quickly. There's hot food on the table. There's a band set up on stage. Let's go fill this thing up. We're going to have a party. And if the ones who the party was intended for won't come, then we're bringing everybody and anybody. All can come in, even the ones you would least expect. He doesn't say, all right, we'll go out, see which businessmen can come. He doesn't say, go out, see which leadership of the town can come. No, he tells them to go bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Those who are frowned upon and whom you least expect, they come to replace the higher dignitaries that had already refused. And so the servant does that. He collects them. And he says, hey, there's still room, master. We didn't fill up the whole building. So the master tells them, go out to the highways. Go out to the hedges. Go to the far edges of all the land and bring in anybody, everybody, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. So we see what's happening here in this story. There's the master who's throwing the party. He invites a selection of men at first priority. And then when it's time for the party, these men back out and ask to be excused out of their invitation. They want no part of it. And so the master of the house, rather than wallowing and just canceling the party, he says, no, we're going to have a party. Go get anybody else. Anybody else but the ones who have rejected me. So like we said, we can understand the story now. We see what's happening in the story. Let's consider here the greater context that we find within this passage. Like we set ourselves up with, we said that within this passage, Jesus is dining with the Pharisees. He's dining with the scribes, dining with the religious rulers of the day. And he has just previously to this, in the parable we looked at last week, spoke about humbling yourself or exalting yourself. And now he's speaking to another concept that would very much so be pointing right at the heart of these religious leaders who wanted to exalt themselves. And now he's speaking to the people who were these very first round of invitees and who were rejecting him. That last line, for I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet, that's pointed right at the men who surround him. This was set up with him giving that more direct statement. When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Again, this is kind of our transition into discussing those who are going to be invited in. Those who do have a place at the table. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. It's also pointing towards the idea we saw last week of humbling yourself or exalting yourself. Don't invite people over just so you can get an invite to their party. Invite in the people who need it, who have no way to repay you, because true repayment is coming upon Christ's return. And so then, as the one of the many who are reclining among him says, blessed be everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, we can kind of, in some ways, understand what his point might really just be. Blessed are all of us who are going to be eating the bread in the kingdom of God. Sure, we'll invite in the poor and the crippled and the lame to our earthly parties, but it's us, the religious leaders and the upright Jewish people, who are going to be eating bread in the kingdom of God. And that's where Jesus gives them the not so fast and brings upon the parable that we've seen today. Those who you think are going to be eating there, yourselves, you're missing the boat. I'm here. I've come to serve. I've come to tell you the time is now, and you're rejecting me. You're giving me excuses over and over and over again. And so as he says in verse 24, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Yes, you might have been the first and the honored invitees, but you've rejected me. You've rejected my invitation. You've decided that your own ways and your own priorities are bigger than mine. And so I'm going to fill this house, and there's going to be no room left for you. That's the point being driven to the people in attendance. But what about for us? Where do we see ourselves in this? How can we understand this? Well, we could rightfully see ourselves in two places. We certainly aren't the master of the house. Maybe you could even say we could see ourselves in three places. Let's go with three places. We may be the servant who's going out to say, hey, the time is coming for the banquet. Come and join the banquet. That we go out and we proclaim the gospel and speak of the banquet that Christ will hold amongst all of his people. The wedding feast to come at his great return, when the bridegroom returns to his bride, the church. Come and be a part of it. You're invited. At some point, if we are seeing ourselves as the servant in that role, at some point we were the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the one who is lost and cast out from the banquet and was called into it to fill up the house of the master. So the second person we could see ourselves as is the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Perhaps we still see ourselves in that place today, that if we were honest with ourselves, we would say, yeah, I haven't accepted that invitation into the banquet. I'm sitting on the outside. I'm struggling. It may not look like it. I may not always admit it or recognize it, but I am struggling in some way. I'm poor in spirit. I'm crippled in faith. I'm blind to the truth. I'm unable to walk in the light. That could very well be us today. At the least, we recognize that was once us. And my encouragement to you is, if you are feeling that way, if you are recognizing yourself in that place, know that this call is going out to you. Know that it's going out to you, because the third person we could become is the one who is invited but came up with an excuse. The one who will have no space and no place and no taste at the banquet. Because when the invitation came, we looked at it and said, yeah, I got bigger fish to fry, buddy. Sorry. I got a wife. I got oxen. I got land. I don't have time for all your party. And so if there's anything for us to take away here from today, I would say we might see it as twofold. Two sides of the same coin, if you will. Do we accept the invitation? Do we recognize that we are the lame, the blind, the crippled, the poor? And we joyfully accept the invitation into the house of the master. And we celebrate with him and celebrate in his ways. We receive what is really unrightfully ours. And we celebrate and rejoice in that. Or do we see ourselves as too important, too busy, and above all of that. And we reject it. The time will come for the banquet. And if we reject it, it's too late. We can't look at the banquet happening and saying, oh, that does seem pretty nice. Sorry, I didn't believe in your message when I first received it, Jesus. Can I come in now? It's not so nice over here under your judgment. I'd rather be over there at the party. You did invite me once, remember? Can I come? That won't be how it works. Scripture tells us that man is to live once, die, and then face judgment. And it's during this life that we have time to accept the invitation. So my desperate encouragement to you, my deep desire is that you would hear me as the servant who is coming to you and saying, come and fill the house. I'm compelling you that this is the way to come, to see and recognize that we are these lame, blind, poor, crippled people. Yeah, you might have your faculties, you may actually have money, but the way that I described it earlier, that we are spiritually poor, unable to walk in the light, that we are so impossibly separated from the Lord, with no way of our own self being able to bridge that gap, that we would trust in the message of Jesus, that we would answer his call and come to the banquet and celebrate with him, that we would recognize what he has to say, that the time is now. The time is now. These Pharisees, they're a part of the class who should have known, who RSVP'd yes in the days of Moses and Joshua and the kings. And yet when he came, sorry, we got our own self-interest. Don't do that. We live now in the day of the King who rules and reigns for eternity, doing so now at the right hand of the Father, and will return to earth in great glory to do so here on earth again. The time is now, before that moment, to accept his invitation so that when he comes, it is a glorious, joyful return, not desperate judgment, an eternal judgment. I urge you, take state of your life. Take state of your spiritual estate. Come to Christ. Accept that invitation. Enjoy the banquet with him. Let us pray.